Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 63, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you, personally invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening, please make sure that you're able to get in a comfortable place that we can take notes to listen and to glean from what we will be discussing today. Before I get started, though, I'll have Rabbi, if you will, Rabbi, pray for us this morning to get us started and to open up our study for today. Rabbi?
Amen and amen. Father, right now, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. We exalt you, and we allow you to have the preeminence in our life and just the controls. We just hand the controls over, and we just deal with the old man. We ask you to forgive us for sin, iniquity, transgression. We choose. It's a quality decision that we make each and every moment of each and every day to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, and to be thankful for all of the mercy that you lay up every single morning, Father. I thank you for how it affects even our forefathers on both sides of our families to the third and fourth generation. I thank you and glorify your name this day, that each new day brings new opportunities to have a relationship with you and to be intimate with you and to experience your glory. So, Father, this day, as you begin to teach us about how to experience your glory amidst perilous times, we give you the opportunity. We submit it to you. We desire to be led by your Spirit to hear what you're saying to us today. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Well, we're going to continue as our usual schedule outlines. We're going to have our before Torah study blessing, and then we'll go ahead and jump into a recap to refresh ourselves as we head down the trail today. So here's our before Torah study blessing, Pastor Doug.
Baruch Ata Yehua Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu B'Mitzvotav Yitzanu La'asot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen. We're going to get started real quick. Before I jump into the recap, I just felt impressed to read our theme verse verses today. And as you hear me every week, I say in the introduction, we are here to seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to those things. And I felt like we should go back to our reference here, just listening to it, if we listen intently to it, and just hear what we need to be aware of and what we need to be on guard of. And I'll just go ahead and read from verses. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, and we go down to verse 5. I'm going to read from the King James. Actually, I have a New American Standard. Let me get the King James up real quick here, so we just keep that precedence here. Okay, here we go. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And real quick, I'll read through the Amplified real quick. Just make it real quick here. But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting to no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety or religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid such people. Turn away from them is what it says here. And Rabbi, as we've spoken in brief interludes over the past, we've discussed that this is talking about perilous times for the bride. All of these things are pointed towards and are up against those who are pursuing righteousness and walking as a bride before our Lord. And it just really was a segue into what we were talking last week as far as the blessing of obedience and learning from our forefathers, learning from the mistakes of our forefathers so we can examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith and to search out and seek out our, to seek repentance, but to make sure that we are in the faith. This is very important because the perilous times really are about introspection. We closed our last broadcast talking about this. But we need to reflect our Father. And this is the area, the areas that are not like Him, the areas that are leaning towards the ways of the world, those are the areas that would be most affected and most deeply affected by these perilous times. And so we have to keep that in mind. Now, again, last week in episode 62, we just talked about, again, the blessings of obedience and learning from our forefathers. We started by finishing off Psalms 91, verses 15 and 16. And it says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. This is the Father speaking to those who are in trouble. It says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. More importantly, it's important for us to go back, if you have time, to go back to the beginning of Psalm 91. And it talks about a couple things. You know, it talks about abiding under the shelter of the Almighty and those who dwell in the secret place. That's what this whole chapter, and that's who this whole chapter is written to. So we have to have that prerequisite first. And so then when we call upon him, he will answer and be with us in trouble. So this goes back. This is one of those, the second part of our introduction, how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. We must be Psalms 91, men and women, walking as a bride before the Lord. Now we took a side trail to talk about learning from our forefathers. We were talking about how Isaac did not repeat the mistake of Abraham by going down to Egypt when there was a famine. He did what the father told him to do. He remained where the father told him to remain. And because of that obedience, he was able to sow and receive, and he reaped a hundredfold from what he sowed. And we see the blessings of obedience, Abraham and Isaac, but then we see a disconnect with Jacob. And Jacob, in a sense, going back from what we discussed last week, reminds us of our old man, when Jacob acts more like Jacob rather than acting as his new name, Israel, one who strives and walks with Yah. We see more of the deceiver. We see more of the slanderer, is how you referenced it last week, Rabbi. And so we want to make sure that we're not falling into the default, falling into the ways of the world. We want to be walking pure and blamelessly before Yah. But again, we see those mistakes with Jacob, but our main thing that we have to be reminded of is not to repeat the mistakes of our forefathers. And God gave us families so that we could learn from our family's mistakes in order to take each generation and make it better. We're supposed to learn from the previous mistakes that were made and repent and make a course correction so that we can prosper in everything that we do, so that we can truly fulfill that last part of Psalms 91, so that with long life be satisfied and that he will deliver us and honor us and show him and show us his salvation. The last passage we read, and I'll pass it to you, Rabbi, was Psalms 24. And we were reflecting on the nature of who God is and how he is the King of Glory. That was a beautiful way to end the script, our discussion with the scripture, because it really helps us reflect on what's important and where is the priority. That is something we have to reflect on every day. I was speaking with Rabbi before the show about how we have the new mercies every morning, and it's one thing to, for me personally, to say it and know it, but it's another thing to experience that reality. So I want us to all keep in mind, again, the blessings of obedience, learning from our forefathers, and how to examine ourselves so that we can walk humbly before our living God and change our ways to be more like him. So, Rabbi, I'll pass it to you for today.
Amen and amen. I really appreciate that recap, primarily because as we conduct this show and as we host this show, the Father is always reminding us, and I believe totally that I can say this for both myself and for you, Pastor Andre, reminding us to examine ourselves, to ensure that we are not falling prey to all of these works of the flesh during the perilous times. And it's so important, but there's an element that I so strongly feel that we need to begin to cultivate even more during these times, that we have not yet had the opportunity to address until now. And that's found in Hebrews, and I want to say Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 4. The one that I was meditating on as you were doing the recap, and it just really began to speak to my heart. I'd love to hear that both in the King James and in the Amplified. It's just, there is a few words, but there's one word in particular that just began to rivet my very being, begin to really speak to the core portion of who I am so that I ensure that I am completely full to the full of that particular element, that item. And that's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. I'll pass it to you, sir.
All right. Read that. Okay, this is good. Starting with King James. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For the Amplified, it says it this way. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. That's good.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. And not that I'm a fan for the nearly inspired version, but I read that, and it also touched me, and it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We are approaching, if not already there, we're approaching these times of need. The times of need that is referred to here is not just a need that you may need in the course of the day, which, yes, it is primarily speaking of that, but we can also, and even the more, use it for this particular topic of discussion, the perilous times. And the word that stuck out with confidence. And as I began to read that, the Spirit of the Lord just began to really whisper to me that my people who are called by my name are not confident.
Yes.
They're not sure of what I can do and what I will do. They know what I have done, but they're not sure in the presence of what I will do for them and what I have promised I would do in the future. And that hit me and rocked me to the core, because as he was speaking of his people, I had to raise my hand and say, I'm there. I'm a part of that particular group. Because there's areas in my life where I know God can. I know he did. But will he for me? Will he in the future? And this is an area where the adversary really tries to keep us disconnected and disjointed from the relationship with him. That confidence is something that I want us to talk about. Because Daniel and the Hebrew young men, they had that confidence. As a matter of fact, their confidence was so strong that if God chose not to, they were okay with that. Very seldom do you run across a believer who has that kind of assurance and confidence in the Almighty. We're lacking that today. It's as if, similar to a watered-down gospel, we have a watered-down faith in him. We know what the word says about us abiding in his word and him abiding in us. But that confidence is missing. As we begin to go deeper into this particular subject, I want you to begin to, those who are listening, to begin to truly ask yourself, where has my confidence gone? How did it wane and become so empty and so unfulfilling? Now, when we think of confidence, of course, we think of trust. And when we think of trust, one of the paramount elements is relationship. It's relationship. It is extremely hard, it's almost impossible, to have confidence in an individual that you do not have a true relationship with, where things have been tested and tried. I've been married to my wife going on 38 years. And the tests and the trials that we've gone through together have built a bond with us and a strengthening . And when I look back at that, especially when I was in the military, that bond built a trust, and that trust built a confidence of the fidelity of our relationship. Even when individuals would call and lie and make false accusations and slander about our faithfulness, it was humorous to my wife. Why? Because she had the confidence based upon the trust, based upon the relationship, and not just the relationship that I have and had with her then and now, but even more important, the relationship that she knew that I had with God himself and with Yeshua. So in my walk, in our walk, in this discussion pertaining to these perilous times, the question is, where is my confidence? What is the amount of confidence that I have that he will do what he said? Remember, that manifestation that God has is based upon relationship. And therein lies the problem. When Yah was with Abraham, Abraham began to falter in his faith. He began to falter in his trust. He began to falter in his confidence that our Heavenly Father would do what he promised. Now, the question is not pertaining to Abraham showing his faults and his shortcomings, because we all have those. The question lies within, what caused this separation? What caused the deviation? And in every single case that I've seen, both with the concept and the illustration that I'm giving pertaining to Abraham, plus my own life, he took our eyes off of God. When we take our eyes off of God, we haven't left the area. We're still there. I'm reminded, Pastor Andre, of a passage in the New Testament pertaining to Peter and Yeshua and Jesus. When Peter lovingly challenged Jesus when he walked on the water and they thought they saw a ghost, he lovingly challenged him to bid him to come to him. And Jesus told him to come. He was the only person out of the 12 that stepped out of the boat. And as long as he had his eyes on Yeshua, he walked on the word that hovered above the water. But the moment that he got to where Jesus was, his confidence slipped. Because the moment he got to where Yeshua was, the very first thing that he did was he took his eyes off of Jesus. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, one of the things I've learned in my own life is you begin to quickly lose your purpose. You lose your purpose. You lose the reason for why you're doing a thing that God has called you to do. And the moment you begin to lose that, what actually begins to happen is your spiritual body, just like your physical body, your spiritual body is a slave to your thought life. Your physical body is a slave to your words and your thought life. If you don't like yourself, if you don't enjoy who you are, then those thoughts and words eventually come out. And when they come out, your body, physically speaking, begins to self-destruct. What some people call an autoimmune disease. It starts to destroy itself. It's been scientifically proven. Well, spiritually, it works. That law works in the same manner. So when I take my eyes off of Yeshua, then I begin immediately to lose trust and confidence. It doesn't immediately start with not trusting God, but it does immediately start with not trusting that God will do it for me, that he will be there for me, that he will take care of my family as he's promised. Going back to the analogy of Peter, the moment that Peter took his eyes off of Yeshua, he put his eyes on the storm and the winds and the waves, and he sank. He began to sink quickly into the water. And as the passage of Scripture states, he called out to Jesus. And Jesus just reached down and grabbed him, which means he was right there next to him. He was within touching distance. Perilous times come when we are within touching distance of our confidence in him. Too often we believe and have been taught that the perilous times will come when things are going bad. Understand the adversary's operandi. He lessens his attack when you are walking in disobedience. He increases his attack when you are walking in obedience, when you are walking in close fellowship. His attacks increase in order to try to break that bond of relationship. At the closest that the Father desires to be with us is during the greatest tribulation. He desires to be right there with you and me. He desires to fellowship, to commune, to spend quality time, so that in doing so, as we've already stated, he can take us completely out of the environment. Daniel was hidden from that whole experience that the three Hebrew boys faced. He was totally sheltered from it. Totally, without a doubt. But the perilous times affected him when in chapter 6 of Daniel, he had to deal not with his co-equal co-workers who conspired against him, but these were subordinate employees who again that diabolical scheme. It's as if you are an executive, a high-ranking executive, and you have subordinate middle management that goes above your head to try to establish guidelines and rules and regulations just so that you can be fired. But in this case, it was much, much more. They wanted him fed to the lion. And in those perilous times, the confidence that Daniel exhibited in his God, in the delivering power of his God, of what, not just what he can do, but what he was able to do, manifested. The Father's reminded me, Pastor Andre, that we are coming to a place where our confidence is going to be tested. But that confidence is based upon trust, and that trust is based upon relationship. And that relationship is not just based upon intimacy, it's based upon where do I find myself viewing. Not just physically, where am I looking or what am I looking at, but spiritually, what am I looking at? What am I spending time with? I'm going to pause here and just have you, if you would, just kind of reflect on what we've shared before we go with, even deeper into more about this topic. Pastor Andrew.
Sure. Yes, sir. I definitely resonate with how heavy that confidence aspect was of the scripture from Hebrews chapter 4. Coming boldly to him, coming with confidence. A lot of times, the confidence, as you mentioned, it's not there because we've turned our eyes away from Yah, or because we've turned our eyes towards circumstances and viewed them in the wrong way. I'm just thinking about how sometimes when you have unrealized expectations or unrealized just goals that don't materialize, and it's not because of the Lord, but somehow we internalize it as, well, the Lord didn't do what I wanted him to do. And so we then, that trust was broken. The enemy found a way in to break the trust. You know what? When I wanted this the most, it didn't happen. But it's funny because it's not about want, Rabbi. It says here in Hebrews 4, it says that we can find grace to help us in the time of need. It's what we need. And a lot of times we can get interchange. The enemy loves to do that so that we can build up a list of the times when quote unquote God didn't show up for us. But that's not the truth. It's twisted and distorted, and that can become iniquity, which is twisting or distorting the truth. So we have to be careful not to agree and come into agreement with those things. But Rabbi, as I'm sitting here listening, it reminded me of the scripture from last week, Psalms 91, where it says, you know, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in the time of trouble. I will deliver him. And again, I love how you so succinctly brought out that there was a prerequisite for this whole chapter, and that was dwelling in the secret place, which requires us to turn our eyes towards him and to be very near him. You know, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think that's one area that the enemy wants to attack so often, that abiding aspect, by barraging every day with so many, with busyness. I use that word intentionally, not just business, but busyness. It tries to keep us from truly abiding and dwelling in that place where we can't help but keep our eyes on him because we're so close to him. I think it's very clear, Rabbi, and I appreciate you bringing out this verse. This aspect, though, it ties in with what we talked about even before the show, that mercy that's there and that grace. I love it how it says it, and I'll stop with this. It said it in the Amplified. It still gets me as I'm looking at it here. But it says that we receive mercy for our failures. And that resonated with me because sometimes our failures or my failures, I internalize them too much and think that I don't deserve God's favor. And so I have to be careful not to look at myself in a way that he's not looking at me. But I love also how it says that once we can get past that hurdle, we can find grace in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. And this reminds me of a father who wants to bless his children, wants to be there and to just help us get things right if we will let him. But that all really requires us to keep our focus and to abide with him. So I see a lot of connections with a lot of the stuff we've been talking about, Rabbi.
Amen. Amen. And I'm still with you there as far as the parent-child analogy. And that's something that I know for myself, I've got to keep in the forefront. That's where the adversary fights us the most, mm-hmm. is trying to take that from the forefront of our mind, trying to take away the fact that we're the offspring. That yet, I get the fact that he's the creator of the universe, that he's done all mm-hmm. these things and that he's continuing to do these things. That one word, light be, is being in all directions, and creation is growing in all directions. But I also have to keep cognizant that I am his offspring. I'm his mm-hmm. child. He didn't create me as a tree or an animal. He created me as a son. That inherits what he has created. But that creation that I inherit, it comes at a price. And the price is the relationship, the intimacy, the faithfulness, the confidence. We must be confident. And that confidence comes from spending time. The perilous times are coming. But the perilous times are coming to take that intimate time away from us. We should never allow the adversary to have us incorporate perilous in our times with the Lord. Because you're going to spend time. You've only been allotted a certain amount of time a day. And how you spend it determines the lack of confidence in him or the confidence in him. My trust is measured by the time, and we're talking quality time, at which I spend with him. The quality time of making sure that the old man, the old Rabbi John, is dead every morning. That confidence is based upon how well I am led by the Spirit of God. And not the spirit of error, but the spirit of truth. It is measurable. Too often we don't think that confidence is measurable, but no. It's measurable because it's measured by the time spent. No different when I go or with anyone goes to work and they do whatever the work is for the desired task at hand. Your confidence that it was done right is based upon your quality of time and skill. But skill comes from continuing to do a thing and tweaking for perfection each moment. So in that, it's important for us to understand, it's important for us to see this, my measure of confidence is going to, or confidence is going to be measured. It's going to be weighed in the balance. And if I'm not careful, then I begin to stop hoping, stop believing. And when that happens, like Peter, we sink. It's so imperative that we not only understand the concept of our confidence, but the application, the applying, to ensure that that confidence is being applied properly. So that when I put my trust in, when I lean or rely on, confidence will hold me up. When I sit in the chair, I'm putting my confidence in the fact that the chair is going to hold me up.
Mm-hmm.
When I lean against the wall, I'm putting my confidence in the fact that that wall is going to sustain me and hold me. My parent, my Heavenly Father, is providing for me so that I will have the confidence to lean on, trust, and rely on Him to keep me standing spiritually and naturally if needs be, but to keep me standing. So that when the perilous times come, times of distress and peril and demonic attacks and all of those things that are not of Him, storms and the waves of life begin to roar and begin to crash against your spiritual house, you will stand. I'm reminded, and we can read this, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 7, and I believe it's verse 24 through 26, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 26. There's other analogies in the Bible, in the Gospels, but I'm very familiar with the one in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 26. And it's important for us to understand. We all will have our day of trial and temptation and testing. But as long as we have our sure-footed confidence in Yeshua and in the promises He has laid out through the Father and in Torah, we will not be moved. When the storms of the perilous times begin to rage stronger and stronger, we will not be moved. We will not be harmed. We will not suffer, nor would we suffer long. Pastor Andre, if you could read that passage in the King James Version,
absolutely. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now for the Amplified, starting with verse 24. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man, who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the winds came, and the winds blew. Excuse me, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. Rabbi.
Great and complete was the fall of it. It's ironic that when we see someone fall or fail or suffer loss of any type, that we think, the thought comes, well, that won't happen to me, or that won't happen to us. And unfortunate as it may seem and as it may be, the adversaries already started to get us to believe that we're in a better place and better fortified than the individual that we witnessed the fall of. Our confidence is and will continue to be tested. If our confidence is not on the rock, and it's easy to say, well, you know, I've got my confidence on the rock, but do we know what that means? Do we really understand how that works? What we don't realize is Yeshua is the rock, but he was pointing in verse 23. He was pointing to the Torah, to these individuals that had excuses for why they weren't fulfilling all of the requirements. They were working iniquity, the scripture says, which means they were working lawlessness. They were doing things that were not lawful. So my confidence has to be in the lawful instruction of my Heavenly Father that Yeshua mandated, not just with his life, but with his blood. He gave examples. My confidence. I can't afford, we cannot afford in these perilous times to miss, appropriate our faith and confidence in Yeshua and in our Heavenly Father. It's no different than an individual that puts in a hard-earned day of work. But the work was appropriated to the wrong task. That's disheartening. Not just from the employer, but from the employee. We need to realize, we need to understand, we need to come to grips with the fact that our confidence needs to be tested. Paul said it this way to the congregation in Corinth. He says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, when he was talking about the faith, he was talking about the Hebraic doctrine. Examine yourself to see if your confidence is properly administered. examine yourself to make sure that when you call on God, he comes and rescues you. That the Spirit of Yah guides you. That his angelic hosts keep you in all of your ways. Not some of them, not a few of them, but all of them. Where is our confidence in the time, in these perilous times? It's a question that will be answered. But the Father's giving us, giving me, given us an opportunity to test it. It's like taking a pretest before the big final test comes. Because the perilous times are the final test. But the Father says, I have a pretest for you. You can take this pretest and it will let you know your weak areas. It will give you an opportunity to ramp up in these and to begin to restudy so that when the final comes, you will. You will be an overcomer. And you will be able to exalt his name. And we will be able to exalt his name together. Confidence. Pastor Andre, I'll pass to you for closing remarks, sir.
All righty. Rabbi, this was a really good moment for us to stop as far as focusing on our confidence. And one of the things that, you know, hit me was, you know, we were talking about where does our confidence get attacked. And sometimes it's just we don't have good examples of what a father would or should be. But that's not a place for us to stop because our Father, our Heavenly Father, has given us every example and every good thing. And just encouraged me to want to go back and just really build up the understanding of who he is and what he desires to be for us. And that's honestly what most of the scripture is about, showing time and time again what he will do, what he promises he will do, so that we can build our trust in him and have that confidence. So, folks, I hope that those of you listening were able to really just to take some time and sit and take stock of where is your confidence. You know, scripture says some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, some trust in, you know, investments and some trust in, you know, their ability to do for themselves. But it says that we should rely and trust in the name of our God. And that name represents his character and everything that he has done, everything that he is doing, and everything that he will do for us. And so as I'm saying this, I'm reminded that I need to make sure my confidence is at the right place and at the right level that it should be, that I understand who he is. And that goes back to what you said, Rabbi, about our relationship. We must really know who he is so that we can truly have that that confidence to know that, yeah, when we make a mistake, he's not going to be the overlord, but the Father. And I think that's really important, understanding and underlining that relationship of us as being his children and him being our Father. Well, thank you all for joining with us today, listening to These Be Perilous Times. And we're glad that you've taken time to study. But more importantly, what would make us most happy is if you go from this point and take what we've talked about, go search these scriptures out and look at them like Bereans and see if they be true, see if they are true. And more importantly than that, not just knowing and seeing and having a mental understanding of them being true, but having a heart understanding of them being true, meaning you apply them to walk in the wisdom of it. As a reminder, this is a broadcast and an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethhashem.org. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what this show means to you. For those of you who are listening and have listened either for a short or a long time, let us know how this show has impacted you and email us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, you can visit our website, www.bethhashem.org, and that's B-E-T-H-H-A-M-E-H-A-S-H-E-M.org. shem.org. You can find out more about us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, all one word, all lowercase. If you'd like to dig deeper, if you realize that you hit a stone and you want to go down and find out more and to see that gem that you've discovered, you can find more about us and more about these types of studies at our college, which focuses on Hebraic roots of our faith. And we offer courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. Our college, of course, is Zakah University of Learning, which we call ZUL for short. But you can look at our courses at courses.bethhashem.org. Now, if you'd like to make a donation to this ministry and support what we're doing here, you can contribute via Cash App. It's online, on mobile, actually, the website where you can go and make a tax-deductible donation, and also gives us the ability to receive without excessive fees. So it's www.cash.app/$BethHashem. Again, lowercase, one word. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close with our after Torah blessing, and then we'll have our Aaronic benediction and Rabbi closing words and last remarks. So at this time, after Torah, study blessing.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet V'Chaye Olam Nata Bikokenu Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of Truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for our Aaronic benediction, which comes from Numbers chapter 6. A blessing for Yah's name to be upon us and to go before us, and his countenance to be upon us, to give us peace. Yeshua's name.
Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Yair Yehuah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehuah panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May Yehuah bless you and keep you. Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your fellowship. We thank you that you help us keep our eyes on you. Not just when we receive something that we're desiring, but also when we're desiring to receive something that you desire. Help us to finish that. Not take our eyes off after we've gotten what we've asked of you, but also stay a while until what you're desiring is also manifested in us. We give you the glory and the praise. In Yahushua's name, and until next broadcast, Shalom.